name stand for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body. Guide us tonight and the future as well. Amen.
Amen.
We have roll call.
Wayne Chatton.
Here.
Dan Ravalette.
Here.
Tracy Brees.
Here.
Scott Brown.
Here.
Brian Grove.
Here.
Shirley Rose.
Here.
Tim Salters.
Here.
Mary Yoakum.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
I move that we adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Vice President Ravalette to adopt the agenda as presented.
Question?
Wayne Chatton.
Yes.
Dan Ravalette.
Yes.
Tracy Brees.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Shirley Rose.
Yes.
Tim Salters.
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the agenda is adopted. I need approval of the minutes for June 10th.
Move we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Vice President Ravalette to approve the minutes as presented.
Question?
Dwayne Chatton.
Yes.
Dan Ravalette.
Yes.
Tracy Brees.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Shirley Rose.
Yes.
Tim Salters.
Yes.
And the minutes are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to briefly take off my city council hat and put on my Vincennes Civitan Club hat to present to the city of Vincennes a check to the Vincennes Parks and Recreation Department for $3,000 from the Vincennes Civitan Club. This is for a commitment of a $15,000 pledge we made several years ago for new playground equipment. And this is the fourth out of our five installments. So I present you this check.
Thank you very much.
So be sure to tune in to the radio auction next year so we can make that fifth installment. A little advertising.
Okay, anyone else? If not, committee chair reports.
So about a month ago, I brought the concerns about Washington Avenue to you guys, and we talked about some of the possible solutions. After that, we did look at some possible prices for those radars that we have that flash if you go over. After a couple discussions with the chief, we have kind of an interesting partnership that we'll be able to do to kind of alleviate that area, and I just wanted to kind of keep you guys in the loop. They'll put them up like they've had when they are on Washington Avenue, so like as you're coming in from the manufactured home area, that spot, and coming past the beauty salon, McCormick Insurance spot, as they've been up before. They'll put those up probably around 2 weeks before school starts, and then the VCSC will make sure that those batteries stay charged and continually keep those up, because that's one of the hard things about those, because those are battery charged and you don't plug those in. So continually keeping those up is kind of an extra hassle. The VCSC will make sure that that's done and taken care of, and just plug those batteries in, charge them, keep them up to date. That kind of alleviates that traffic problems that we've seen. And some of those issues that we've had with speeding in those spots, especially when we see that influx of students that'll be in that area. And obviously we've seen those problems there. When you've seen those up, it really does help. And I know that, you know, some of us have talked about that before. It really kind of helps in that area. So that allows us then to kind of look to see if we can get some grants for possibly purchasing some more, if we want to talk about this during budgetary time, or possibly if we have like line items that are full that we can use to buy some towards the end of the year. So this gives us plenty of time to look forward to see what else we can do, but we have some stuff right now, and this partnership will kind of let us fix this issue as we look forward to continue to improve certain spots throughout the city.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, Councilman Salters. Any other committee chair reports?
I just mentioned the Solid Waste Board met this morning, a fairly uneventful meeting, things running smoothly, but as we've talked before, due to the falling prices for recyclable materials, their education program is, which previously was heavily emphasized recycling and still does encourage recycling, but is moving to a new phase of encouraging people to purchase items that produce less waste. So we don't need to recycle as much. And July is a month they've designated to encourage people to reduce their use of plastic as much as possible. So if you have those reusable shopping bags and things like that, the Solid Waste Board is encouraging people to use those so we can cut down our waste.
Okay. Councilman Chatton, anyone else? If not, report to city officers. And none, we'll move on to old business. Ordinance 3-2019, transfer of funds from edit to restricted MBH. Your first reading was the June 10th meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have a second reading of Ordinance 3-2019.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have second reading of Ordinance 3-2019.
Ordinance 3-2019, transfer of funds, ordinance, sections 1 and 2, total of $95,000 to restricted fund for paving and capital outlays, restricted fund.
Discussion.
You mentioned before, this is just a kind of a cleanup detail.
Right. It's the way that we've got to report our MVH dollars now. So in the future, we'll use edit to help fund the street department, take the money we would have took out of edit for paving and take that out of MVH.
Okay. I would call for the question then.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Tracy Breeze?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Dwayne Chatton?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
Second reading of Ordinance 3-2019 passes by a vote of 7-0.
I would move we have a third and final reading of Ordinance 3-2019.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Brown, to have third and final reading of Ordinance 3-2019.
Ordinance 3-2019, transfer of funds, sections 1 and 2, from edit to MVH restricted fund for paving and from edit fund to MVH restricted fund for capital outlays, total $95,000 being moved over.
Again, discussion.
Call for the question.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Tracy Breeze?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Dwayne Chatton?
Yes.
Dan Ravalette?
Yes.
And third and final reading passes by a vote of 7-0. New business. First up is Katie Cotter, VU Street vacancy.
Hello. I'm Katie Cotter. I'm here on behalf of Vincennes University. They have petitioned to vacate a portion of Shelby Street, specifically the area of Shelby Street between 1st Street and 2nd Street. And as you can see on the Exhibit A, the end of Shelby Street from 1st Street to the railroad right-of-way. Also, the alley between Shelby Street and Hart Street. VU owns all the property around those portions to be closed, and the reason they're asking it to be closed and vacated is for the French Village project for the campus. And you can see those renderings on Exhibit C. We came and presented this to the Board of Public Works tonight, and they, I believe, approved it to go forward. So tonight we're asking just for a first reading. There will be a public hearing on July 8th.
Does this have to go to area plan?
No.
Okay.
It will come back we'll have to advertise a public hearing, and I think then we do second and third reading then.
And I'm sure you're working with our emergency responders on any related issues to the street closure.
I think there was a comment by the fire department earlier. And yes, they are. They have been in talks with them.
Is there a reason this doesn't have an ordinance number?
I don't know if it's been assigned one yet.
There'll have to be an ordinance number assigned. Right. If you approve it, then she'd come back for second and third reading and public hearing.
So it would be in order to approve this on first reading pending the assigning of an ordinance number? Would that be, is since we have the public hearing scheduled, or they want the public hearing on July 8th.
I think it's ordinance number whatever's next.
Okay, what is, do we know what's next?
I think it will be four, but I don't have the book in front of me.
Okay.
It should be four, since we just passed three.
All right, well, that'd be logical. Well, then I would make a motion that we adopt this on first reading, ordinance 4/2019.
Second.
Count past four.
That's why he gets paid.
Got a motion by President Chapman, second by Vice President Ravelet, to read and approve on first reading ordinance 4/2019.
Ordinance number four, 2019. An ordinance of the common council of the city of Vincennes, Indiana, vacating a portion of a public street containing sections 1, 2, 3, and 4, a portion of Shelby Street between First and Second Street, and a portion of Shelby Street between First and CSX Railroad right-of-way, and an alley, part of an alley.
Discussion?
Will the public hearing be advertised at 4:45, like it says in the notice, or will it be at 6 to start our council meeting?
I put 5:45.
We have been having our public hearings at 6, just for simplicity's sake. But have you already advertised it then?
I think we did.
Oh, you did? Well.
Then we'll be here at 5:45.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that all right with everyone?
Sorry.
Very good. Then with that said, I would call for the question.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tracy Breeze?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Ravelet?
Yes.
And first reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
Thank you.
See you in a couple weeks. Thanks, Kenny. Next is Beth Reedy, 1420 North 17th Street, water issue.
I have files for each of you. Make sure I left one for myself again. First of all, it's an honor and a privilege. First of all, it's an honor and a privilege to appear before you this evening. It is always wonderful to be in Vincennes, and I have returned to live in the home on 1420 North 17th Street. I'm here on behalf of my father, who is sitting right in the audience. His name is Rex Reedy. Let me give you a little bit of a background of this issue. The definition of community is defined as a group of people who live in the same place or have a particular common characteristic, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes and goals. Tonight I would like to speak to you, the community of Vincennes, on an issue that affects my home. The property is located between Wabash Avenue and St. Clair. It is a quiet, quaint little street that is not a through street. It is, in fact, a dead end. My home was purchased by my father and provided to my children and I as a place of residence. The home was completely gutted and remodeled upon our buying the property, and I'm very proud to call it home. However, there is a significant issue that brings us before you tonight. The property is prone to constant flooding. I'm not just talking about flooding that occurs in 100 years, but low-level flooding that can occur after an ordinary thunderstorm or a particular rain event. When we purchased this property 10 years ago, my father and I were not aware of this problem. However, the city of Vincennes was. This is evidenced in this report that I submit to you now. This study was ordered by the city of Vincennes in the 1990s, long before we became the owners at 1420 North 17th Street. If you refer to one of the last recommendations that I have circled on page 3, it states that the home located between St. Clair and Wabash Avenue should be bought by the city of Vincennes as the cheapest solution to the issue of this flooding problem. Excuse me. Again, I emphasize the city knew of this report. In other words, the property should have never been allowed to be remodeled and resold in the new millennium. It should have become what is called an orphan property. That is a dwelling that is abandoned and not allowed to go back on the market. This obviously was not done, and my father bought the home and paid a decent amount for it. Through the years, Mayor Yoakum and Mr. Ravelet can tell you that I've been in to see them regarding this issue of flooding. We have discussed on numerous occasions possible solutions to the flooding, and I have iterated to them how much time, money, and heartache I have experienced trying to make our home livable after each flooding event. I want the Vincennes City Council to know how kind and gracious Mayor Yoakum's office has been to me each time I have asked to speak with him. The mayor is a wonderful elected official, and I'm here tonight to make sure you know that. I also want to express my appreciation for Sunny Pinkstaff and Don Halter, who have done what they said they would do in providing sandbags and immediate disaster relief when I have asked for it. They are both men of their word, and they have helped me in any way that they could. The conflict is we have reached an impasse in this issue this summer. After spending thousands of dollars to recover after flooding, the time has come to say enough is enough. My children are grown and educated, and my daughter has already married and moved out, and my adult son has just graduated from Vincennes University and will be leaving shortly to start his new career. I will be alone in the home for the first time since it was purchased. Due to health concerns, I cannot do the work that is required to live at this residence after a thunderstorm or rain event. We have paid our taxes without question and seem to be getting nothing in return to deal with this issue. Again, the definition of community is defined as a group of people living in the same place, having a particular characteristic in common, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of common attitudes and goals. I would now like to turn my attention to my father, Rex Reedy. He exemplifies the definition of community in the following ways. He was appointed as a volunteer and served his community on the Wabash Valley Human Services Board for many years. My mother, the recently departed Ann Reedy, was a true force of the spirit of community in Vincennes for her entire lifetime, having served as a teacher in the Vincennes Community School Corporation and various charitable organizations throughout Knox County. My parents have volunteered many hours to the RSVP food pantry, and as you can see, we're quite proud of this fact. My dad has given 20 gallons of blood in his lifetime. Representing each gallon is 8 visits to the blood bank to give 1 pint. He truly is a humanitarian. However, the most important thing that my dad has given to this community is the land that he gave for free to the city of Vincennes so that Beer House Boulevard could be built. This gift to the city of Vincennes was valued in thousands of dollars because he believed it was the right thing to do for his community. He indeed was even publicly thanked by the city of Vincennes in an article published in the Vincennes Sun Commercial on the day that Beer House Boulevard officially opened. Having outlined our issue, explained our dilemma, and finally defined it to you, the City Council of Vincennes, I'm asking you tonight, what value do you put on community? Will you reciprocate the kind of community spirit that my parents have afforded the city of Vincennes? Will you as a group help us find a way to resolve the issue of this property? Or will it be the same old response? We're sorry, there's nothing we can help you with, Ms. Reedy. Or tonight, will it be different? Will you as a community elected group do the right thing? Help us find a permanent solution to this problem? Will you reflect the model as the definition states, a fellowship or a feeling with others that have the same attitudes and goals? Will you repay my father with the type of community spirit to help us in this request as he has helped you? Or will you send us away again, watching and wondering when the next thunderstorm is coming? I pray you do the right thing, not just for myself, but for my dad, who's the wisest man I've ever known. Will you become the true definition of a community as it is defined?
First off, this is actually the first time I've ever seen this report.
I understand. I wasn't aware of it until Hunter Pennell told me about it last week. I didn't even know it existed.
And when you purchased the home, did the previous owner have any idea that there was flooding?
It was a foreclosure purchase. The person that sold it to us bought it for $6,000 on a foreclosure auction, remodeled it, flipped it, and sold it to us.
And they didn't disclose that to you?
No, sir.
Did they have knowledge of it?
Yes, sir.
Did they have knowledge?
I believe so. According to Hunter, they did.
Have you pursued civil action or?
No. We want to come to you in the spirit of cooperation. You know, we're trying to define the problem to you before we would have to take a step like that. My dad is 89 years old. He obviously isn't geared up for a great fight of that nature. We wanted to come with you and humble ourselves and let you know what was going on first so that you could be aware.
And you said you've been to the mayor's office. What has been done on our end so far?
Would you like to address that, or would you like
basically
me?
I've turned it over to utilities because this is the utilities issue with stormwater.
I can give you a real recent example.
Okay.
I went ahead and there's a culvert that goes under the street on North 17th Street, and it seems to be clogged and accentuating the problem. And I called the street department, and they came and said they had cleaned out the culvert. And I asked him, was there a lot in it? And he said, no, not at all. And
it was the utilities that came out and cleaned out the culvert.
But it doesn't even look like it was touched. I mean, I've gone out and examined it. I'm not sure what they cleaned out or if they were in the right spot. But that particular culvert is clogged. And it fills up in the side yard first, and it comes over our asphalt driveway and right into our front door. So what lives at my front door every day of our lives there is a shop vac, a carpet cleaner, a dehumidifier, and a bunch of cleaning supplies that we use on a regular basis. We've replaced the carpet multiple times in the living room, just to no avail. It happens again and again. And it's a beautiful home.
There's always been water issues on that street.
That subdivision should have never been built there in the first place. In fact, first responders call it the swamp.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I can tell you that was done years. My aunt lived down there when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Lived in a home down there.
It was called the Blue Bomb subdivision.
So.
And none of the other homes around us flood but ours. Ours is the only one that floods on a regular basis. The other homes are not affected unless there's a 100-year flood.
This executive summary, this is produced, what is the?
Let me tell you how I found out about this report after all these years. Last Tuesday, I believe, I was trying to get some sandbags on our property and was having a hard time getting them there. And Hunter Pennell was supposed to be in charge of that. He called me. And I said, Hunter, where are the sandbags? Because imminent rain was coming again. And I had to go and buy them myself because they weren't on the property before the next rains came. He said to me, I wouldn't have to worry about your sandbags if you hadn't bought a house in the swamp. And I said to him, I did not know my house was in the swamp when we bought it. He said, we did. There was a research, there was an, a study done in the 1990s that told that this was a flooding issue. That is, and as soon as he said, I shouldn't have told you that. That was the first time I knew about this document, was last week.
And that's the first time I found out about this document was last week.
So I've tried to take the high ground and be very complimentary to the people that have helped me. But Mr. Pinnell has not been one of those people.
So you're thinking the solution is for the city to purchase the property?
I'm not sure if that is the solution. Obviously, I know that you can't purchase the home for what we paid for it. But at this point, we aren't even allowed to resell it in good conscience because I wouldn't give this problem to my worst enemy. So for us to abandon the home, it would become an orphaned property and it would probably just be knocked down. We have enough in the home now that if we could find a way to keep it from flooding, I would be more than happy to stay there. But if not, we've got to figure out something else because obviously I can't maintain the property without water in my living room, without my children there to help me.
Mayor, does Mr. Bushy know about this?
I'm sure he does. He's the one that told me that they went out and blew that storm line out that said they really wasn't anything in it. So he's aware of this.
Well, typically what we do in such a case is have the experts study the issue and come back and make a report to us. Since Mr. Bushy is not here, I would hope you'd give us the grace to have
Absolutely.
A couple of weeks to have him
come
and make a report.
We're invested
to
this
us.
Long. We're not making any demands. We're just asking for help.
Sure. I can certainly attest to the great community servants that the Reedy family has been. We certainly thank you for that. And so we want to treat everyone as fairly as we can. It's an unusual circumstance. I just, by coincidence, recently helped an elderly uncle sell his property, and he has a water issue. And I don't know, maybe the laws have changed through the years, but after a purchaser makes an offer to purchase and you're in the, before closing, there's the construction inspector, building inspector that comes in and makes a extensive report on if there's any deficiencies in the properties. And in his case, it came back that his driveway slants toward his garage and mm-hmm. water from mm-hmm. particularly this season, the rain was getting into his garage. So as part of the purchase agreement, the purchaser asked us as the seller to they had an estimate for what it would take to solve the problem. And so as part of the settlement, we paid that amount of money. I don't know if that's the way they did it back then, and maybe since this was a tax sale, maybe they don't do it that way. And this was several years ago.
Yeah, they bought it, I think, from a bank. It's a
you bought it from a bank. So there may be differences in the way it was purchased, but.
You didn't buy it from a bank though, right?
No,
you bought it from a company that flipped it or an individual?
An individual.
Is it a contractor or?
No, it was a private individual.
Mm-hmm. Did you deal with a real estate agent?
No, we bought it directly. I can tell you, it rained significantly, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. My dehumidifier has gotten 60 pints of water a day out of the home since that event. 10 days ago. So that's how much water we're dealing with.
With that amount of water, do you have mold issues? Or?
Yes. Yeah. The one saving grace is the house is built on a concrete pad. So the water comes up quickly and it recedes quickly. And that helps with us to be able to control the mold. It doesn't get into the drywall or into the electrical outlets. It comes up quickly and it recedes quickly. And then, it's all hands on board trying to repel what we can. We live with sandbags outside of our door every day. we step over sandbags to get in and out of the house.
Is there any way to divert the water?
I believe there are some ways that we could look at diverting water. I believe in the side yard there could be a deeper culvert dug that would allow the water to go down toward the creek. It's not just the creek that rises. There's a hill right above us where Overlook Drive is located.
Yes.
And it comes down that hill in a fury. And so what happens is it starts with the hill, it comes up in the side yard, and then if it's significant rain, then the creek joins it. And at that point, you know, it's feet of water. That's happened twice with feet of water.
Have you ever had water in your home without the ditch being full, the creek?
From the hill. That's usually what floods us on an ordinary rain event is the hill.
How close are the houses on that street? Are they fairly close, or?
I don't know.
We had a picture pulled up.
I'm not sure. I don't know
so
how.
You got fairly close neighbors, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
they, you know,
don't have water,
but the only if it is when the creek joins the hill flooding, and that's only been twice. The everyday rain is just ours.
So is your property the lowest point?
I believe so.
On that area?
There's a house beyond us that's abandoned. It is quite a bit higher, and a house to the left of us that's just a little bit higher, and it does not flood on a regular basis like ours.
Would it be beneficial to have the city engineer look at this and see if there could be some kind of a diversion?
Yeah, we'll get with the city engineer and have him get with Kirk Bushy and Hunter Pinnell. And if that is a solution, make it.
You know, we're willing to work with you. I have a lot of time and effort invested in my home.
Larger,
I'm not
we'll
wanting
look at
to
that,
just dump it on, you know, I just want to be able to, I just want to be able to go to sleep at night when it's raining and not worry.
I don't want to fix it halfway if it doesn't correct the problem. It needs to be done right. Or,
since we're just receiving this, if I think the procedure would be that we have people like city engineer, the utility services look at this and report back to the mayor and council and see if a solution can be found. It's
like I said, we're not making any demands. We just would like some help.
Yeah, water department says they've completed several of those recommendations over the years. I mean, it's been 19 years. So they've done a lot to improve drainage, but this problem has not been addressed, apparently.
Okay.
Well, thank you for bringing this to our attention, and we'll get a report back.
I just want to thank the mayor again. Anytime I've come in, I've been desperate. A couple of times I've come in, I've been panicky, and they have never met me with an attitude. They've always been very willing to allow me to express my opinion, and they've heard me out, and I'm just very thankful that you've been so kind to me.
And
thank
we'll
you
get
for that.
You, I'll get with these individuals, and we'll get back with you here soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Next up is claims.
I move that we approve claims totaling $542,927.37.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Vice President Ravalette to pay the claims amount of $542,927.37.
Question.
Dwayne Chatton.
Yes.
Tracy Brees.
Yes.
Don Ravalette.
Yes.
Tim Salters.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Shirley Rose.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the claims will be paid. Anything under miscellaneous?
Yes, I'd like to bring something up, Mayor. I think the last time we did this was under Mayor Mooney, but we did a relocation of the geese out in the college area in 15th Street.
Right.
It's bad. I mean, it's real bad. I'm wondering if we
get with DNR maybe
and try to pursue it again. I know it to me it's probably going to be an ongoing issue each year, because I know it's complicated for the mere fact that you relocate them, a lot of them return, and it's a health issue as well as just being a nuisance to all those people that live out there.
Okay.
And I'm talking, this morning there were hundreds, literally hundreds of geese out there. And they were not only on 15th Street, they were on College, I just think there's gotta be some kind of resolution to this to where it's not such a nuisance.
Okay, Dan, Shelton, take care of getting hold of DNR and see. I can honestly say I have received no complaints about the number of geese out there, but with your complaint, we will.
I think they just learned. I've talked to several people that live out there, and they just live with it. But it's a big nuisance, and it's just something I think we need to relook at.
Okay.
And there are several in the Four Lakes area too.
Right, yeah. Right. There's it's an issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know we're not going to eliminate them, but if we can just control the population a little bit better.
I know that they used to have a program where they greased the area so they wouldn't hatch. And mm-hmm. So maybe we need to look at that again.
Okay.
Anything else?
I move for adjournment.
We are adjourned.